KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jasmine Gooden and Chantel Leeson are in studio with us. They're with the New Mexico Dream Center. And I know you two young ladies can take care of yourselves, but I have to go into dad mode right now, you guys. I'm nervous about you both being on the streets of Albuquerque dealing with sex traffickers. And I know you're doing this amazing thing, rescuing children from the streets. So let's talk about that. You are the outreach team of the New Mexico Dream Center. And let's go to you first, Jasmine. What does it mean to reach out to minors that are victims of sex trafficking? I mean, I'm thinking you should have a commando suit and an AR-15. What do you think?
Oh, that would be ideal. But no, we just walk in Albuquerque. We walk on Central. We go out and we drive around. We just really look for any youth that we might be encountering. And quite honestly, it's a lot more difficult than it seems of just like walking up to these youth and saying, "Hey, do you need help? We can help you." It's kind of trying to figure out and locate these youth. One of the things that we've realized is that through at the beginning of the pandemic last year is a lot of these kids went into hiding. They weren't wanting to go into the shelters because they're able to be exploited in those spaces. And so really a lot of the work is trying to find youth and locate youth.
Yeah. And the traffickers don't want you to find them either, right?
Definitely not. Yeah.
Well, tell me what you do, Chantel, when you find a child. Are you bringing that child into the harbor, which is kind of a temporary place for you to help kids with different things when you find somebody?
I mean, ideally, at the first time I meet a youth, they'll want to come into the harbor. But I think it's very important to recognize that we haven't earned a lot of these young people's trust, and we don't want to necessarily put them in a situation where we're encouraging them to trust complete strangers. So I think that a lot of it is building relationship with the youth whenever we encounter them. I give them a business card. Hey, if you need something, you call me, because odds are they're not going to come to the harbor the first time we meet them. And we don't want to be like, "Hey, get in the car and we're hauling you off," because that puts us in the same realm as the trafficker. What sets us apart is the love for them and relationship and taking time to respect them and respect their choices. And so whenever I meet a youth on the street, I will go back to that same location multiple times, hoping to find them. If I run into somebody, recently I ran into a young person that was living in one of the homeless communities, and I've gone back to that same homeless community multiple times, always asking, "Hey, is this person here? Hey, are they here?" And trying to build that relationship, giving them my card. And if they call me, "Hey, I'm cold. I'm going to be there with a blanket, and I'm going to be there with some hot food," and build that trust with them, hopefully. And then once they know that I can be trusted, then they're going to be more likely to come in, become a part of case management, which is that long-term care that they're needing.
So I know Shelly Rep, who's the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, is on frequently, and she was on with you all, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And she's described a situation where a lot of young people don't want to be involved. They don't want to go to a police officer mm-hmm. and saying, "I'm being trafficked," because they may be fearful that they'll be sent back to their home. And here's the paralyzing thing for me. And it's so sad. People feel safer being on the streets of Albuquerque than they do in their homes.
Yeah, definitely.
That is a really sad comment.
I think it's really sobering to think about that, you know, a lot of these youth, they have either run away from their homes willing to take their chances, or the opposite is, or another situation is that they've been kicked out of their home. regardless, the home environment is not a safe place for them. And it's stopped being a safe place for them, that they'd rather risk their chances and take their chances on the streets of Albuquerque, which is not a safe place at all. It's incredibly dangerous and scary and very quick to be exploited. But they don't necessarily know that walking in, you know, getting off of onto the streets.
I don't want to mislead anybody. You are absolutely not armed.
No.
As a dad, I'm thinking to myself, these people are not nice people. I want you to be protected. But you are, you do have resources with you when you go out on the street.
Yes.
What does that look like? You have water.
We hand out food, water, hygiene. Like Chantel said, she, really searches and tries to connect with youth who need sleeping bags, blankets, any sort of, especially as we're entering into these cold weather months, any items that will help them. If we have it, we're going to give it.
And as our listeners are listening, I hope you're thinking of ways you can be ministering through the New Mexico Dream Center. Maybe you have some sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could go buy some sleeping bags. You know, whatever you have on your heart, maybe God speaks to you now. And obviously your organization can take donations, but you also can use these hygiene products and other things. How do people get those dropped off to you?
So they can contact Chantel or myself, and they can schedule a time to drop them off at our building. We have a drop-in center, which is our primary hub of operations, and that's off of General Chenault and Central. And so that's, you can drop them off. You can mail them to us or ship them to us via Amazon order. There's many ways. So I would say just the direct contact.
So let me give an address. 126 General Chenault Street, Northeast Albuquerque, 87123. The phone number is 505-900-3833. Mm-hmm. Do I understand you can text also to that number?
So you can't text that number. That is a landline.
Okay.
But you can text one of us and we'll also respond.
Okay. Let me go to Chantel now. What do you say to a child that's been trafficked when you first meet them? Hi, how you doing? I'd like to get you off the street. I don't know. What do you say?
I think that the first thing that needs to be recognized is that it's rarely known for sure right away whenever you meet someone whether they are if they have been trafficked or not. We kind of assume most of the time if they're hanging out on the streets, they have been the victim of some kind of trafficking. But I always just kind of tend to treat them as if they were a normal person. I feel like a lot of times they feel separated from society. They feel dirty. They feel unworthy of love or affection or any of those things. And so my goal is always just to be like, I'm going to treat this person the same I would treat anyone else. And again, once I have that respect from them and that trust, then they're going to actually care what I have to say. Because otherwise I can come up to them, and even if I know 100% that they are a trafficking victim, and I can come say, hey, I'm going to help you get out of this. First off, that potentially puts them in danger with their trafficker. If their trafficker finds out that somebody knows that they're being trafficked, then it can put them in a harmful situation, and likely they're going to be beaten after that. So we try to just very much just like, hey, we have some free resources to you. No big deal. Here's some water. And if possible, sometimes we have like little tissue packets that we have our emergency human trafficking hotline number on it. Like, here, do you want some tissues? Do you want some hygiene items? And we just put it all in there. Then they have access whenever it's safe for them to make that call. They can reach out to us. And we also have to remember that they have to make the choice to leave wherever they're at, because otherwise they can go right back there. And so that's why we make ourselves trustworthy and available, very available to them, so that as soon as they're ready to make that decision, they can remove themselves from the situation.
I do want to say something also, you know, just I think a big way that we have to go about it too is kind of a roundabout way. You can't do just where you're walking up to a kid and saying, hey, are you trafficked? Because there's so much manipulation that does go into this, that even if you say, hey, here's a tissue packet, and whenever your trafficker's not around, they're like, what is a trafficker? Mm-hmm. That's just my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that she's 15 and he's 38. That's just my boyfriend. He just takes care of me. I don't know what a trafficker is. I've never even heard this word in my life. And, we think you're being trafficked. I don't know what that means. You know, and so it has to be a very roundabout way of saying, hey, we know that sometimes things happen on the streets, And sometimes you're forced to do things you don't want to do. And sometimes that looks like having sex for money for your boyfriend. And if that's the case, then this is a number that you can call. And we want to help. And we want to be there in case you need someone to talk to. And we want a place for you to land and you can come get resources and take a shower and that kind of thing. And it has to be, it can't be as direct as, hey, are you being trafficked? Let's help you.
So, Jasmine, you said something before the show started that I want you to kind of repeat for our audience. And you kind of use the vernacular, let's call this what it is. A young person might think, okay, this is my boyfriend. I'm making sacrifices on behalf of my boyfriend. But what's really happening?
Yeah, they're being trafficked. They're being sold. They're being exploited. But I think, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, talking about is how can we combat this? And I think one of the biggest ways is to exactly what you said is call it what it is. It's not a transactional thing with a purchaser and someone who's selling goods for services. It's not when there's children involved, they are not able to give consent. And with that, it stops being transactional. It stops being a choice. And it's child rape. It's child exploitation. It's sexual exploitation. And it's not something that's just can be easily watered down by calling it child sexual assault or child, you know, assault. It is child rape and people are purchasing to rape children.
Have you, when you're walking around, can you tell who the traffickers are? I mean, can you like look at them and go, yep, there's a trafficker because you see how they're interacting with these kids? I don't know if they spread them out. And I mean, I don't know what the strategy is. But I can just imagine somehow they're trying to manage these children because they're running in their minds a business.
Definitely.
Which is sad beyond sad.
Yeah, I could say that at the beginning, whenever I first started venturing down this path, I wasn't able to recognize them. It often looked like a man and his girlfriend, no big deal. Or it looked like, sometimes it even looks like a dad and a wife and a kid. Like you don't necessarily know what it looks like. The longer I'm in this and the more I'm out on the streets, the more savvy I'm becoming, to the point where I was out eating downtown with my brother a little while back. And I was like, we need to go right now. Like, I am not comfortable. And he's like, okay. And he's trying to back out all slow. And I was like, there's a trafficker right here on the corner and he's pimping out these women. He's like, what? No. And I was like, yes. And so it's really amazing to me. I didn't realize I had been growing the eyes for it until, I was with my brother who has less experience in that area. But I think that over time, as you really, I pray, ask God to open your eyes to the things that are going on around you. As you educate yourself, what does this look like? Then you're going to be able to have the eyes to see it more often. But otherwise, it really can be very stealthy and you don't necessarily know who they are.
So I almost want to go back to my original dad mode because I'm fearful for you two. I mean, I can't imagine interacting on the streets with people that essentially when you are rescuing a child, you're stealing their livelihood. That's mm-hmm. their, and I can imagine that may not always result in kind words for you.
Yeah, well, I think one of the most sobering things that I've experienced is, you know, just comments directly from trafficker that says that he just said, you can take them. I have so many more to choose from. And that in Albuquerque, New Mexico, because there are so many vulnerabilities that he's able to prey on just not that one child, but so many more, because we have so much child homelessness and youth homelessness that it is they're a dime a dozen to him. And so I would say, yeah, absolutely. They we're taking away their livelihood. We're messing with their income. And that's going to infuriate a lot of people. The unfortunate truth is that there are so many people and youth on our streets in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that he can turn around and he can be selling someone else within the day.
Jasmine Gooden and Chantel Leeson in studio with us. They are with the New Mexico Dream Center. It's a Christian outreach to kids, victims of minor domestic sex trafficking. The New Mexico Dream Center entails a lot of ministry. These two young people are serving on the outreach team, so they're specifically going out on the streets of Albuquerque. We have a lot more to hear from them this afternoon. I hope you'll stay with us. It's shocking. It's interesting, and I hope it's going to stimulate others to get involved with your ministry. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This Christmas, partner with GFA World in their Critter Campaign to send help to impoverished families in Asia, where a cow can change lives.
We try to bring help for people in deep poverty in many of these Asian nations by providing them with cow and goat or buffalo, sewing machines, simple gifts that will help them to make a living and find hope and get out of poverty. And we saw hundreds of thousands of families set free from such crisis and agony. And we do that in the name of Jesus.
You can send a critter to a needy family in Asia today. Imagine a cow or even a water buffalo opening the door for the gospel and bringing help and hope. Your gift today can mean a tomorrow for a family in Asia through the GFA World Critter Campaign.
Donate now by visiting klyt.fm and clicking the Critter Campaign banner, or by calling 855-572-4628.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
You made a statement to me in prior shows about how efficient a swamp cooler is compared to refrigerated air. I think the analysis was 20 degrees lower than the temperature outside.
That's one of the best swamp coolers in the world. We'll get you a 20 degree.
So if it's 100 outside, you're going to still be 80 in your house, even if your swamp cooler is working ideally.
Right, but it's the process of evaporation, so it feels a lot cooler than you think it is. There's a thing called temperature, and then there's a thing called sensible temperature.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
Hey, Westside, Pastor Drew here. If you are looking for a small church community plus world-class Bible teaching, I want to invite you to Calvary Church Westside. We're a family-focused Bible teaching church at Coors Montano. Calvary Church Westside, where church is family.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700, or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. The New Mexico Dream Center is a New Mexico ministry. We have Shelley Rep, their executive director, on the show frequently, and they're a ministry that specifically is trying to help victims of minor domestic sex trafficking. Now, you're going to run across people that are not minors, and I know you offer help to them as well, so we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Jasmine and Chantel are the outreach team from the New Mexico Dream Center. Share with me, if there is such a thing, a good story about somebody that you've helped.
Well, I think that there are little victories all over in outreach, and that's what keeps you going. I think that there are connections that are made, like Chantel spoke about earlier. I think, you know, youth finally getting to recognize our face. And often, you know, we get labeled as something that's not our name. Like, oh, you're the burrito lady, or, oh, you're the cheeseburger lady, or, you know, like, oh, you're the water lady, like, you're the lady with the supplies, or, you know, and so, but that is a victory, you know, seeing people who are not on the streets and then hearing it's because they got into housing, or, you know, you've seen them weeks in a row and then all of a sudden they're missing and you hope that nothing has happened to them, and then building relationships with people that say, oh no, he got into a home, or oh no, he went home to his home, or he went to live with his aunt or something like that. Those are victories, and those are exciting for us, and we celebrate them every single time that they happen, because you kind of just have to celebrate the smallest things going into those dark places.
Would there be children that are afraid to get out of this because they're hooked on drugs that have been introduced to them by a trafficker?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not a pretty statement by any means, but you control the drug, you control the victim. And a lot of traffickers will absolutely use this as a way to control victims that they have under their control. And whether they, it can look like one of two ways, where they're already addicted and then they go to buy or purchase more of whatever they're using and they get sucked into something and it spirals, or they are lured in into what we call like the Romeo pimp, and he's lures her in through the means of romance and then slowly has her try things and eventually has her hooked on something, or little boys as well. So her or him. And so it's absolutely a part of the game. And I don't know that necessarily that it's a fear of leaving because they're hooked on drugs, but more so that it's just they are hooked on drugs.
I'm thinking there are people listening right now, men and women, who have attained a certain station in life, maybe like me, have been not mean, but kind of ignore the people that are panhandling at the intersections. Mm-hmm. Now, I support a couple homeless ministries, and I believe that we have enough beds for the homeless in Albuquerque. So many people that are not in facilities don't want to be in facilities. And children are afraid to be sent back to their, maybe it's foster home, maybe it's mm-hmm. parents they don't want to be back under the control of, and they don't fit in the system. We don't have an easy way to fit somebody into a shelter for children because they're underage. I mean, there's just all kinds of laws that need to be changed in the state of New Mexico. So that's a long way around the block to say, I think there's people listening that would be great volunteers mm-hmm. that would love to be in this fight with you. Tell us about the training and how they can contact you to maybe participate. This is real life ministry, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, we love having new volunteers. And one of the things that I am very passionate about is putting somebody where they're going to fit well. You have some people, I've had some people where I'm doing speaking engagements. They're like, oh, I would love to help out. I just don't want to talk to anyone. Great. Let me find a place for you. That's fine, because there is so much that goes into it. That's the nitty gritty. Like, nobody really wants to do it. We make hygiene bags and we give out hygiene bags. We give out roughly 100 hygiene bags a week. And this has like toiletries in it. It has basic personal needs in it. And we have to make all of those. So whenever we have a volunteer that doesn't like to be out on the streets, decide that they want to come in, volunteer 2 hours to help make those, it is a huge blessing. But then there's also something whenever people are like, I'm so good with people. I love that. Yeah, they can let me know and I will give them personalized training for whichever outreach we're going to be on. So they can volunteer with me through the week in different outreaches. And then we can say, hey, we're going to do hot chocolate at the park. Come a little bit early and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do a training. And then it's hands-on training for there. And I'm going to talk to them through it. I'm going to say, hey, these are things that we do. These are things we don't do. This is how to be remain cautious. And then we have our main Friday night outreach where anybody can join and it's a big deal. And we walk down Central and we give out at least 120 burritos, burgers, something like that. We give out hygiene supplies and we're always prepared to meet the youth that we come into contact with. There's training for that before each outreach, and they can sign up to volunteer online through our website, and they can just go to the Get Involved page and they can just say, it's just like a little contact form with their name, their email, what they want to do kind of, and then they'll get connected with our volunteer coordinator from there.
And that website is nmdreamcenter.org. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And another thing that we really love, there is a lot of people who have a heart to help, but they're like, I can't show up. I can't be there physically. Maybe they're not healthy. All of these things. We take burrito donations. We have a couple people who bring in 100 burritos. We stick them in the freezer. Then we warm them up on the day of, and then we go out and we take them to the street. So if somebody wants to volunteer to bring in burritos that are made up or any kind of handheld food, it could be like hot dogs or I don't care what they are. We're good to hand out anything. But if somebody wants to do that, we're grateful too.
I just had one of the pastors at Calvary Church tell me that he really likes the burritos at Golden Pride Chicken. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can stop off. When do you hand out burritos? Friday night? Mm-hmm. Maybe your ministry is to stop by, pick up 10 or 20 burritos and deliver them in the afternoon before you guys go out Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would definitely.
I mean, there's just
that.
A lot of ideas.
There's so many ways to get plugged in.
And you are both open to any of that kind of stuff. And training is important. And you both have, I mean, again, I'm expecting you, for the type of work that you're doing, you guys ought to have Green Beret uniforms or Navy SEAL stuff on, because I just think this is just such a scary thing. I think I told you last time you were here, I went and parked, I can never remember, I think it's on, is it San Pedro or Louisiana in Central? There's a Kentucky Fried Chicken there.
Oh, yep.
And I just sat in the parking lot from midnight till about 1 o'clock.
You're brave.
Oh, my goodness. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't see any children. Mm-hmm. But I had a couple of people come up to the window, tap, hey, you interested in this or that? No, thanks, whatever. And then I had people coming up, and one guy had such an attitude. I said, don't walk up near my truck or you're going to have some problems. And he looked at me like, oh, I think you should be leaving. I said, no, I think you should be leaving. You know, it's like, so I just, the people just feel like they can, you know, control the whole area, and they're trying to keep the coast clear for customers. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you guys a little bit about customers. We'll do that in the second half of the show, but I kind of think that maybe the key to this is to remove the demand. And one way to do that is to make sure that we have people out on the street, volunteers, that could be tracking these so-called customers. I mean, I just feel like there are men in particular, I'm a man, so I'm just going to say it, that are, what is it that is compelling you to rape a child? Mm-hmm. Again, you're not, that's not a service that you're allowed mm-hmm. to buy. I mm-hmm. mean, it's creepiness. I'm, it's off the chart how bad it makes me feel to say this, but I'd like to see people be freed of that addiction. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see them be changed and have God change their hearts. But they get so far down a road that, you know, if they do get caught, they're probably going to go to prison and it's going to be worse. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just a revolving door. I can't imagine. Yet you two have chosen to serve in ministry. Jasmine, why'd you do that?
Oh, man. God, that's really all there is to it. I just started, and I actually started wanting to help women who have been abused and domestic violence and survivors of domestic violence. And then God opened my eyes to human trafficking. And it was one of those things, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You can't walk away from it. You can't say, I didn't know. And so then I started learning more about it. I got plugged in, you know, with different ministries that went into strip clubs, and slowly started working. And then Shelley, you know, working with Shelley at Spoken For. And then we stepped, you know, established our 501c3, and we were able to, you know, work into Dream Center. And then it's just kind of been a evolving process.
And I know, and I don't know if you can speak to this exactly, because I know it's kind of in the planning stages, but I know you're planning on having a place, mm-hmm. a permanent place where mm-hmm. people can have a home. Oh, yeah. I shouldn't say permanent, because you hope they graduate from that, go on with life, and have families and all the things of their own. I mean, I guess that's the ultimate goal. But you have a long-term care place where they can be safe away from traffickers and those kind of things. Can you speak anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be – it's called the Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. That's the program. So we currently have two programs under the large umbrella of New Mexico Dream Center. One is Spoken For, and Spoken For helps adult women who have been sex trafficked, and so – or adults who have been sex trafficked. It's transitional living. It's not exclusive to women, so – I apologize for that, but it's an adult transitional living program where that's independent living, and we provide case management and try and get them kind of through and onto the next steps. Then we have the Harbor, which is that General Chenault property that we just discussed, and that is the drop-in center for homeless and at-risk youth up to the age of 21. They're able to come, take showers. They can access clothing closet, food, play games, access computers. And then our third is going to be what we're working on most recently, and just really developing. That's called the Lighthouse. And the Lighthouse is going to be a residential treatment center, a group home, if you will, for, minors who have been trafficked. And currently there's no option for this specific specialized population. And, we're hoping to get that launched, and hopefully by 2022.
We are with the outreach team of the New Mexico Dream Center. Jasmine and Chantel will be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Two inspirational voices joined together for one amazing night of music. The Celebrate Christmas Tour live at Legacy Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Friday, December 10th. That's Natalie Grant and Danny Gokey, live in Albuquerque on Friday, December 10th. For more information, visit transparentproductions.com.
KLYT thanks Allocate Ministries for partnering with the Light of New Mexico.
You've heard various radio spots on this station, encouraging you to consider attending Calvary College. You may have thought, that's more than I can afford, or I'm not a very good student. I couldn't take on a load like that with my schedule. This is John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho. I'm a teacher's assistant here at Calvary College, and continued education in God's Word is something every Christian should consider. At the very least, a single class each semester is possible to handle by just about anyone. It's affordable, manageable, digestible, and able to equip you to help you and those around you grow in the Lord. You can even audit classes and gain the same knowledge.
Don't talk yourself out of continued education again. Connect with the friendly staff at Calvary College to find the perfect fit for you. John Chitwood did. CalvaryChurchCollege.com is the first step. CalvaryChurchCollege.com.
Now, as the challenges of the pandemic continue, families living in poverty have to find a way to get through it all. Through the hunger, through the bills, through the fears of eviction. But when you give to the Salvation Army, you're lending a hand to bring hope for the road ahead through bill assistance, job assistance, daycare, and more. Just $25 a month helps keep families in their homes. Keep hope marching on at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
From the KLYT broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at essenmacherdental.com. Well, we have to stop talking about minor domestic sex trafficking just for a couple minutes and do something fun. Now, I'm going to give away two tickets right now to Natalie Grant and Danny Gokey. They're going to be at Legacy Church, 7201 Central Avenue, this Friday night at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, Legacy Church, Natalie Grant, and Danny Gokey. If you would like two free tickets to this concert, please call me at 505-338-5790. And Dr. Steve Ryman, our engineer, will be there answering the phone. So Steve's always very gracious. We'll need your name, phone number, and we will leave the tickets for you up at the front desk at Calvary Church. This is Natalie Grant, Danny Gokey, this Friday night, 1210. Show's actually at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6 o'clock. So call us and we'll give you away two free tickets. I'm going to be giving away tickets pretty much every day this week. So if you miss out on being the first caller today, we'll take your call tomorrow. And I might not do it till, say, 12:45 next time. So anyway, Jasmine Goodman and Chantel Leeson in studio with me. I'm still amazed looking at you both going, I'm not seeing any scars. You're not bleeding. I just imagine this war. This is a war. You were all. Maybe it's more of a spiritual war.
It's both. It's spiritual and it's physical for sure. I mean, we have been blessed to have that hedge of protection over us. But it's not that we haven't seen other physical war, whether it's with our clients or whether it's with just things that we encounter on the streets. It's definitely both physical and spiritual.
Okay, I want to ask you about customers. Have you seen customers? Have you seen men soliciting these kids?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I want to know what they look like. And I'm after, are they certain socioeconomic level? Are they a certain race? Are they just everybody? You can't tell them apart.
Yeah, I would say they're everybody. that you can't tell them apart. I mean, there are statistics that have shown, you know, differences, and I shouldn't have even said that because I don't remember them off the top of my head. But
my point really is that we might, in our own minds,
yes.
Oh, a sex trafficker looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it could be somebody that you don't know is into this that you even know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so many parents have had their children. Like I know when you start talking about sexual abuse and stuff, so many times kids are assaulted by people in their own families.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't different than that.
It's not. And there's actually different ways into trafficking. And so there's, like I touched on it earlier, there's a way it's really romantic and it's romanticized. And there's predators that they prey on these youth. And they say, hey, I can tell that you're having a hard time and you don't necessarily have a lot of people to talk to. Can I be your boyfriend? And
okay, so let's put together a scenario. 15-year-old online doing one of the social media things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that person can see by the way they're communicating that they're kind of alone, they're reaching mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
And then they start really kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing communication with this person.
Absolutely. And they address themselves as, I want to be your boyfriend. I want to take care of you. I want to give you the world, and promising the moon and the stars, you know. And that's what we call it Romeo pimp. And that's, you know, one term, but that's one way. And then there is absolutely, like you're speaking to, that familial aspect of it, you know, familial trafficking that absolutely happens in the state of New Mexico. We have a lot of vulnerabilities. We have poverty in our state. We have a lot of people who have come from, you know, single parent households or low income families. And there are just these vulnerabilities add up to create a perfect storm that a predator can then prey on them and kind of use that similar tactic. And or their family is hurting for money. And so they might choose to sell their child. And then if there's drugs involved, then that is an even higher chance that a child might get sold.
Chantel, what is your biggest obstacle in working with these children? You've already described it takes some time to establish a relationship.
Honestly, I would say that is the biggest obstacle for sure. And then locating them, because you're working with two different people's groups. You have the ones that are introduced to it from a young age, and then you have some that are at risk because they're homeless and they might have just gotten kicked out of the house or something, but they're smart. You know, like they're not hanging out on Central and in the middle of the night because they know that's really sketchy. They're hiding behind a dumpster in Rio Rancho and they're living out there and they're keeping clean. I mean, sometimes I come across homeless youth that I would walk by them on the street and never think twice about them being homeless because they're clean, they're well kept. And so a lot of it is location, locating these youth. And oftentimes we have this picture of like what trafficking looks like. And a lot of times we picture having this pimp on the corner with a bunch of girls lined up and then somebody walking up to purchase them. It's not exactly how it works. And we have to be a little bit more creative in how we reach them, which is one of the reasons I love volunteers. I love community involvement, because if it's just me out on the streets, I have one set of eyes. I'm not going to be able to find and actually encounter these youth as much as if I were to have a bunch of people who have 50 people, for instance, that have training, that know how to recognize a youth that's potentially in a trafficking situation. Because again, it can look like a dad and their daughter just walking down the road. It can look like a guy and his girlfriend. You don't necessarily know that until you have that training. So if we had that training and people were, you know, calling in tips, that's a huge, huge blessing.
Have you encountered people that you've worked with that have been trafficked from, say, 12 to 17 years old that long?
Absolutely.
So this has been a life for them
mm-hmm.
in many ways. And I understand, I know there's a very famous case right now that is underway where this woman was recruiting. Unfortunately, some of that involves New Mexico and New Mexico children. But I understand that sometimes kids that have been trafficked, as they've been doing that for a really long time, they will sometimes become the recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's out of fear, or maybe that's out of because they have a drug addiction, I mean, some dependency. I mean, I know there's all kinds of different, Stockholm syndrome and all these other things that when you're captive or held captive or enslaved by another person, there's different, things that take over psychologically. So I can't imagine all of that, but you've worked with a lot of people like that.
Yeah, so there's a hierarchy that kind of develops within a group of women who are being held by the same captor, and so, or the same trafficker, and he, and so after so long, it's almost, I think once hope is gone and hope is lost, then you kind of think and feel like it's easier for me if I help him. And like that's how the recruiter, the victim becomes a recruiter. And that's how that transition is kind of made, because it's survival. Every single client that we've worked with is in survival mode. And there's and I think that is a huge, huge reality that we need to face in terms of looking at helping anyone, is establishing this baseline of safety and food and shelter. And then once they feel like they can finally move out of survival mode, then we can really start seeing an impact of what we're doing. Until then, we just have to acknowledge that every client that we're working with is in survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Some ways that our listeners can help. You have the Harbor, mm-hmm. which is open afternoons till what time at night?
So we're open. The drop-in center itself is going to be open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday until 6 p.m. And then Friday is our staff day, and it's client only. And so it's, we're there until about 4. And then Chantel does the big outreach night on Friday nights. And so that's there's plenty of ways to get involved throughout the week and Friday night for outreach.
So ultimately you need financial donations that would let you keep the Harbor open 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, you need some help with the Lighthouse, which mm-hmm. is not transitional living. That's more of a safe house for people for a certain mm-hmm. amount of time. They're dealing with drug addictions. They're dealing with traffickers. They need to get jobs. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into bringing someone back into what we would call a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, our listeners can help you with all of that. The website is nmdreamcenter.org. The New Mexico Dream Center deals primarily with minor domestic sex trafficking. They also have Spoken For, which is a transitional living opportunity for older people.
Yes, who have been sex trafficked.
Sex trafficked. Mm-hmm. And I guess so many times we would, like I can tell you one thing anybody can see. If you just drive down Central on Friday night around 11 o'clock, 11:30, mm-hmm. you're going to see what you would perceive as prostitutes walking the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole perspective has changed on that since meeting you and meeting Shelley, because that may not be the case. That may be a person that's trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
They may be held captive by a leash drug. I mean, there's just so mm-hmm. many terrible things that go into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they're not being held captive by a drug, they're being held captive by strong, strong, strong amounts of manipulation and fear. And that is absolutely something that goes into every trafficker situation.
And there's even some intimidation that comes with it. And they might find out where those girls' father lives, or their mom, or somebody in their life that they actually care about. And they're going to say, hey, look, we have pictures of the front of their house. If you don't do what we tell you, we're going to kill them, and so there are lots of ways that these women or individuals are in bondage that we might not necessarily see. So we see a prostitute, but we don't recognize that that person might be doing that quote unquote voluntarily, but they're doing it to make sure that their family is safe. Or sometimes they'll kidnap maybe these women have a child, and they'll kidnap that child and keep them somewhere else. And that woman has no idea where they are. But if I don't continue to do this, what are they going to do to my kid? There's so many more things that go into it than oftentimes are thought of.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'll tell you. I know our police, our law enforcement, we've talked with the sheriff's department. We've talked with APD, and I know you have great relationships with both. In fact, I kind of hoping that they have your backs out on the street, especially when you two are on the street. And I know there's just not enough police officers. We need to get another 300 or 400 police officers on the street of Albuquerque. And I'm praying people will be called to that as a vocation and a ministry to help us with law enforcement, because we do appreciate the men and women in blue. Absolutely. And again, you're after volunteers that are women. You're after volunteers that are men, and different ways you can serve. We're going to be back talking with Chantel and Jasmine with the New Mexico Dream Center. One more segment with them. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Scott Tom. I've been training men for ministry for 30 years. Seminary is expensive, time-consuming, and typically during the day when most of us are working. Our Shepherd School is inexpensive and only one night a week. If you desire deep theology, practical equipping, and personal mentorship, find out more information and receive a catalog and application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Here's Skip Heitzig, zeroing in on our heart's desire.
We praise whatever it is we enjoy. If you enjoy the Lord, praising Him, bragging about Him, saying something good about Him will not be hard for you.
Skip gets right to the point now.
God wants praise exclusively. You are to praise God without any rival, without any competition, solely, singularly, to praise Him.
Look for Skip's messages on the Pray.com app.
When you declare praise, you are declaring the value of God, irrespective of what you are experiencing. Praise will transform you. It will change you. It is a declaration based not only on what He does, but who He is.
Lean in for this flaming point from Skip.
Praise God by any and all means possible. I don't got much, but I got a breath. Good, then use it for the right reason.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says that athletes who run in the Olympic Games give it their all, disciplining their bodies, all to get a crown that perishes. But he says that we, as we run our race, should be looking for and thinking about a crown that does not fade. What can be such a big deal in one moment can quickly be reduced to something that feels so archaic. When trains first showed up, it was all the rage, because before you rode in covered wagons. But today, trains are kind of yawn, a relic from a museum. Why? Because we have airplanes. The point is, if we just live our life focused on this earth, whatever we allow to define us is quickly going to be determined to be a crown that faded. But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can focus on an imperishable, eternal crown.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLesko.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect with Jasmine Gooden and Chantel Leeson. They are both with the New Mexico Dream Center. They're part of the outreach team, or they are the outreach team, and we're talking about volunteers. Maybe you can join their outreach team and go on the streets of Albuquerque and help them identifying kids and helping kids and giving them all kinds of resources. I'm interested in the process of developing relationships. In other words, it's not, hey, I'm a superhero, come with me. We're the ones that are going to keep you safe, because that's probably the same thing the traffickers are telling them, right?
100%. We have to have a different approach.
Yeah, and establishing relationships is that much more important. So because I have this character flaw in myself, this angers me so much. I don't know how I would even deal with the anger if I saw a trafficker on the street. So I'm going to ask you, how do you deal with the anger you feel when you see a child trafficked?
I think I've been doing it for a while, and so I think for me, I have anger is channeled into a different way of just, we have to make this stop. It's channeled into action, and it fuels and it ignites a passion to end it. I would say more than I have anger towards purchasers, because I think that to see a child as a commodity, as something to be purchased, like a lamp, that infuriates me. That's where I start to get really angry, because I do know the trauma that goes into most likely a trafficker's life of to make him develop and to build and create a trafficker. I know what the trauma that goes into a trafficked victim's life and how she or he may have become in this place of being trafficked. But a purchaser is, one, continuing the cycle, and two, it is dehumanizing any single person or body, and it is no longer viewing them as someone who is to be respected and cared for. And that's where I start to get a little bit. But how do I deal with it? I just talk on the radio about it.
This is your therapy. Okay. Chantel, tell me how you deal with it.
I think that for me, it kind of manifests a little bit different. I get kind of hopeless. I'm like, it's a never ending problem. Mm. And these people, like, and there is that recognizing that everybody came to the point they're at from somewhere. But then it's also just like, it just seems like it's never ending. And there's that verse that says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And that's for me, rather than getting angry about it, most of the time I just end up feeling like, how do we get more people out here? How do we tackle this? And then there are the times that I just get so, I'm just crying out to God, like, God, I've said, here am I, send me, and you've sent me, and it's too much. Like, I can't do this alone. And so for me, in that, it takes a lot of time of me really submitting myself to God, and then Him reminding me that I don't have to save the world. All I have to do is do my best in every moment. And then whenever I meet that one person, that one youth that needs my support, I'm there. And then He's going to take care of the rest. I just have to be all there for that one person. And then after that, He'll bring me another one. And just taking it moment by moment.
I think the difference is that I hear from both of you is you're both willing to trust God. Mm-hmm. And what He's going to do, you're not the one saving anybody. He is. Mm-hmm. But He's using you as a vessel to do that. And boy, if you had, I'm coming up with ideas, but let's say we could get 20 churches in Albuquerque, and we could get 10 women's groups and 10 men's groups, and they would take, actually we need 30, so we cover once a month, one day, they could cover a night with you, and you'd have somebody every day of the month.
That would be amazing. That would be ideal. And we could even, if we had a full church that wanted to get involved, we could set them up with their own day of the week, and or they could come once a month, and I would train them, and I could get them started. I could do everything to get them up and off the ground. And really, it comes down to multiplying the work of God. We don't all have to be in the exact same place and doing the exact same thing. My vision would be like, hey, we have 20 churches that want to be a part of this. Come and do it with us a few times. And then we're going to train you and empower you to go and do it in your own area of the city so that it's not just Central that's covered. It's Albuquerque. It's Rio Rancho. It's Bernalillo. It's wherever you are and wherever God has put you physically, you're able to start filling those needs and really supporting the community to support our community.
I'm thinking the customers would be kind of embarrassed if they saw a whole bunch of church people standing on every corner for a 4-block area where they usually pick somebody up, and that would be a pretty big deterrent. Definitely. So, hey, another way you could be part of the ministry and still being kind and loving even to the traffickers. But those customers aren't going to want to come anywhere near you. And when the demand's gone,
The supply's gone.
And the suppliers move on, mm-hmm. right? I mean, at least that's what we hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is such a pervasive thing. I'm embarrassed again. I've said this before. I didn't know this was a thing in Albuquerque.
Mm,
are there a lot of people people are just unaware of what they don't see.
People choose not to see it, I think. Mm. And I don't think that that's anyone's fault. I don't think it's, you know, people choosing to say, oh, I don't want to know the bad in the world. I think it's saying, oh, that's just a prostitute. And, you know, even though after education and that kind of thing, I think hopefully then eyes are open and then we can start spreading the word. And then you can tell, hey, I didn't know this was a thing. Did you know this was a thing in Albuquerque? No, I didn't. And then they go home and they tell their friends or, you know, and I mean, I don't expect it to be a common party topic, but I do, you know, we're at the dinner table, but I definitely know that when I started learning about it, it was very much a passion that was ignited in me. And I was telling people like, how is this possible? And, You know, but we've gotten that, especially, you know, over the years, talking to people, asking for sponsors from businesses, asking from sponsors from, you know, to sponsor our run or whatever the case might be that we're doing. And they say, well, I would love to sponsor this, but it doesn't seem like it's an Albuquerque issue. And that is such a common thought here in Albuquerque, is that, you know, we're too small. We're too small of a city. Phoenix, Houston, I get it. New York City, absolutely. But not Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the reality is, yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And even I've done trainings and talked to people in Socorro, New Mexico. Like, it is everywhere. And so we can't expect.
And you know what?
That
that's important.
Here.
We are broadcasting now in Las Cruces, Clovis, Cannon Air Force Base, Portales. And each one of those communities probably has some degree of this going on as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And could the New Mexico Dream Center help them attack this problem if they were to call you, those communities?
Absolutely. We love to do trainings. We love to do awareness events. We love to provide communities with support and resources. We're actually part of a team that is mapping out specific resources throughout the state of New Mexico for who do you call when you see a child being trafficked or sold or exploited. What do you do whenever you are in Portales and Roswell? And so we're actually developing that currently. And so that's something that, you know, we've been working really hard to establish and figure out where are the resources all through New Mexico.
You know, there's really a crisis at the New Mexico-Mexican border, but there's so many citizens from and children particularly coming up from South America across Mexico. I mean, I can't even imagine how they're getting up to the border. Are you starting to see children from various countries that are, you know, maybe by themselves on the streets of Albuquerque?
I wouldn't say necessarily seen them. I don't know, Chantel, if you have, but I haven't. And but we have gotten calls about youth, 16-year-old boys that have come up, and where can they go? And they've been sex trafficked. And we've gotten calls, you know, just through referral agencies that are working, and they've come across some, and they've, you know.
Talk to our listeners real quick. We only have about 2 minutes left, about how they can help if they see a child. Is there a line they can call? How do they get in touch with you?
Okay, so we actually have our emergency hotline that we just launched this year. It's going to be 505-504-1301. That is an emergency hotline exclusively to human trafficking emergencies. And we are monitoring that phone 24/7. You can call or text that number, and we are happy to respond and pass along any tips to Attorney General's office if, you know, they are.
And by the way, I want to make sure people understand that if they suspect somebody's being trafficked, like let's say you see a child grabbed at 1:30 in the morning by a trafficker and being somehow disciplined on the street, don't call this emergency line. Call 911.
Yes. Absolutely.
And
yes.
And you work absolutely very closely with law enforcement to help these kinds of
and we
situations.
We are not. Yeah. And I do want to make that distinction that we're not necessarily rescuing. We are a provider of aftercare, and we are doing outreach, you know, to try and engage with those survivors. But we can't respond to an emergency like that. It does have to go through those proper channels of calling 911.
Right. But if you suspect somebody's being trafficked and you don't know for sure, you guys might like to have the tip and know what time of the day you saw that person, where they were located, and you might be able to look into that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then also for homeless youth, if you see somebody who's young and they're hanging out behind a place by the dumpster, you can be say, hey, I see a homeless youth. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be like, hey, do you need a blanket? Hey, do you need food? Odds are they might not be there by the time I get there, but I still want to be there to provide that service.
You know, and it wouldn't be a bad thing for you to come into the New Mexico Dream Center. If you're interested, get some training, then maybe you get to meet that immediate need.
Yes.
Maybe you take them over to the restaurant and feed them in McDonald's while somebody from the Dream Center can respond. I mean, there's just a lot of scenarios. We can work together as a community. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. Jasmine and Chantel, you guys are awesome.
Thank you so
God
much.
Bless your ministry and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.